Well, hearing from a pastor that believes in Celebrate Recovery always has a place near and dear to my heart. And today we get to hear from a pastor in another state, but shares in that same passion, I think in the same passion that we have here at Fellowship Celebrate Recovery, and just the support we have from our elders and our ministry teams. But Pastor Brian Trent is a big cheerleader of Celebrate Recovery, and I recently did an interview with him on Facebook Live, and I wanted to share it with you guys here at Fellowship Rogers, Fellowship Fayetteville, so that you could be blessed by his words, and it blessed me, and I'm sure it will bless you as well. Today we're having a conversation with a pastor about Celebrate Recovery. Welcome to Hope and Recovery, a Fellowship Celebrate Recovery podcast that shares hope and healing for our mental, spiritual, emotional, and relational journey through life change stories and recovery topics centered around Christ, Jesus Christ, and the Celebrate Recovery principles based on Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus gives us tools to help us face our hurts, those hang-ups, those lies that we may be believing about ourselves, God, and others, and even our circumstances that ultimately lead to some defenses and protections or some nasty habits or numbing agents that we may fall into to confirm those nasty beliefs that always create havoc on our relationship with God and with others as well. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with drugs and alcohol and perfectionism. My name is Rodney. I'm the pastor and leader, ministry leader of Celebrate Recovery here at Fellowship Rogers Celebrate Recovery. And it's so good to be back with you today. Thanks for, as always, for sharing this and helping us get the word out. But as I mentioned in the intro, I just wanted to share just a blessing of an interview that I had with a local pastor in South Carolina. He's from the Lighthouse Church, and he and his wife Amanda do a phenomenal job ministering to people there. Their CR is 3 years old, and Celebrate Recovery has changed their church. It's impacting people. It's impacting the church and now their community. And so we had a fun conversation. I just wanted to share that with you. And so with that, we'll pick up with my conversation with Pastor Trent. I've been watching you from afar. That, you know, this week was the first week that I had the opportunity to be able to have a conversation with you. And this is the first time we're really having an in-depth conversation. So I'm excited to have this. I've been looking forward to this. But you, I know we've got some folks watching on the Trent Tribe page as well with your audience. You do a lot of videos. Some of our viewers and listeners are already familiar with this. Some people may be just meeting you for the first time, man. So tell me, I'd love to just jump in. What got you on this Trent Tribe? How did this all launch for you, man?
Oh, anything and everything pretty much starts with my why. So she's the one who started all of this. A lady gave us that nickname years ago. She said, "There comes that Trent Tribe." My wife was like, "I kind of like that." So she went and bought the domain, and she started a Facebook page and all this stuff. So it's been there for years, but, you know, over the years, God kind of intervened and did. I mean, he was definitely with her when she started, but he definitely has changed it over the years. Yeah. But here we are now.
I love it. Well, it holds your attention. I know everyone that I've seen, it's just really good stuff and good nuggets. So you're a pastor at Lighthouse Church in Hampton, South Carolina. I saw somebody from Columbia. I don't know how far that is from you, your neck of the woods in South Carolina, but I saw somebody on here.
Mm-hmm. That's about an hour and a half. Okay. We jokingly say everything is about an hour from here. And it's pretty much the case. We're in a great spot. We only have 5 red lights.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, one of them is really questionable. I really don't think we need it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, so, I love it. Well, man, so one of the things that really captured my attention and my heart is I love hearing pastors so passionate about Celebrate Recovery, man. And you're one of those pastors, and I just love hearing your heart. And I'd love to kind of lean into what got you to this space of being so passionate about Celebrate Recovery. Can you kind of take me back a little bit? What got you to this point, man?
Well, I know the first thing was 25 years ago. when I was 25 years old, half my life ago. There was a group of alcoholics in the town my mom lived in. She had remarried to my stepdad, who was an alcoholic. And a lot of the men in that town were alcoholics. Small town of about 200. And a lot of them wanted to go to church, but the two churches there were said, get your life straight and then you can come to church. And I remember thinking as a young guy, you know, gosh, I'm really young in the Lord here, but that's not the Jesus that I see in the gospel, you know? So, so we started a Bible study in one of them, one of their mobile homes, and around a kerosene heater, cause it was winter. And, this is awful. And the first, they brought their beer, with them and they drank. Now we don't do that at Celebrate Recovery meetings. But I wasn't rehearsed in the whole thing at that point. I was young, and I was like, I don't know that this is okay, but you know what? We're going to go with it. And over the course of several months, those guys all gave their lives to Jesus, and they all quit drinking, not because I told them to, but because their relationship with the Lord led them to the place where they found healing and recovery.
Wow.
And so... I think God had put that in my heart a long time ago. And we tried to start one here at our church, probably 12 years ago. And we went to several, and probably four or five. And we were like, oh, yeah, this is easy. I mean, this is no-brainer. We can do this and pull this off. And then our last one we went to was at a wonderful church up here in Orangeburg, South Carolina, called Cornerstone Church. And they were actually doing it the way you're supposed to do it. And we... Because the rest that we didn't know. I mean, we'd never been to one.
You'd do the best you could.
Yeah, right. And we go to the that one, and we were like, oh, gosh, we are not ready. So we just shelved it, even though – but we still did things to help people in recovery. So just because we were not doing Celebrate Recovery didn't mean that we were not, because God just kept bringing people to our church and in our church family. And thankfully, 3 years ago – we had a couple come in, and we were blessed to have them here to help start it. And they've moved on now, but we have a new leader in our CR program, and Jess does a phenomenal job as our ministry leader. And she's very new at it, just a few months, but gosh, she just does a great job. So I'm thankful.
That's cool.
I mean, that's kind of how we got to where we are right now. So
yeah, I love that. Well, man, and you know, I'm just loving this conversation, and I can see our comments. People are really enjoying just hearing from you, man. From a pastor's standpoint, you know, people hear from us all the time. Celebrate Recovery Global. We're always talking about Celebrate Recovery, so it's always refreshing to hear from somebody who's in the trenches. In a church, you're dealing with broken people. That's what the church is for, right? We have to remind ourselves of that.
Yes.
But Celebrate Recovery, what is Celebrate Recovery to you? Why have Celebrate Recovery in your church, bro?
Okay. Well, at first it was for everybody else that needed it. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that really could use Celebrate Recovery. And at the time when we started it, we were... and bear with me because I'm being sarcastic, just in case you don't know.
I can pick up on that.
Because at the time when we started, you know, 3 years ago, you're still dealing with the COVID stuff and all this junk. And there was no AA, NA meetings, things like that. And so we felt like that we started at a great time, you know. And of course, in my heart, I'm like, well, we've dealt with addicts. We've dealt with people with substance abuse issues. We've dealt with people with anxiety issues, PTSD, codependency. I mean, we've dealt with all sorts of issues over the years, but now we get officially, like, we can really hone in on it, you know? But it was for everybody else. And I think the change for me came when we started Step Studies. That's really because up to that point, it was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. We're getting together. We're worshiping, you know? And having a lesson or you know, sharing a video testimonial of somebody and then breaking up into groups or whatever. But when we started Step Study, I said, well, I got to do this because if I don't, then I'll be a hypocrite. And I grew up with a father who was very much a hypocrite. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just stating the truth, because he was somebody different to, you know, what you saw was a completely different person than he was. So once I came to know Christ, one of the big things over the years is I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I think the best way to do that is to be transparent, you know, and say, you know what, I got issues. I got problems. And I think that you have to be transparent about that, you know? And I think that's the part about it in me. And when you come into a recovery program like Celebrate Recovery, and then you start going through the step study, and all of a sudden the rubber meets the road. And about 2 weeks into it, I was like, gosh, oh man, I'm messed up. Like, I am really, I have got problems. And I'm like really bothered by it, because I'm like, how am I even qualified to be a pastor? Like, if people find out that I'm struggling with some of these things, and it's not that I had like something that if it got out, it was going to be the end of everything.
Yeah.
It was that family trauma and growing up in poverty and various things like that. And I had just taken those little hurts and tucked them away in my life and had figured out how to maneuver around them the best that I could. But the truth is, I wasn't truly living. I wasn't truly free. And I had been a pastor for years, and I wasn't free. And so when we started doing step study, then I'm having to address these things. And I'll be honest with you, I was pretty angry every week. I was like, I'm not real happy. And I tell people, I said, listen, if you want to continue dealing with the junk you're dealing with and don't challenge yourself, then by all means, if you don't want to get angry or any of those things, or deal with your emotional junk or any of those things, you better not go through step study. It is not for the weak at heart. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to fake it. It was hard. But was it worth it? Oh, my gosh. There's no way I'd be sitting right here with you right now if I didn't go through step studies and go through that, because it transformed me as as a human being, you know, as a child of God, as a pastor, as a husband, as a leader. It just transformed my life. And so, and then the beautiful part is that the guys that are in the group with me in my step study were several of the leaders in our church. And we look at each other now and we get fired up, man, about it, because it not only, when God uses something like that to transform you, it transforms everything else in your life. Because, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. When God transforms this, it transforms everything. So my leadership capacity went through the roof. You know, I'm not saying I'm the greatest leader. I'm just saying that it went up a lot. Because now I'm not dragging around and trying to maneuver around things that I've tucked away. I have found healing. And I don't have to carry those things around anymore. And I just felt free. It's just incredible. And I'm going to be, I know why a lot of pastors probably shy away from it, because they don't want their people to know, because they, you know, they don't want to appear weak. And they don't want to appear, but the truth is, and if you're a pastor on here tonight, you know as well as I do, you are weak and that you have issues.
Then it's okay.
And it's hard, and it's okay. It's absolutely okay. And there are so many pastors that I know that are crying out for help, but they can't open up with people in their congregation. And it might not be because they don't have somebody. It's because they're afraid to, because they may get railroaded. And they may be in a position where, you know, that is their family's livelihood. It, you know, that is one of the things. That's their income. And if people find out, then their family is up against it here. For us, we were fortunate that we don't take a salary from the church. So we're not really concerned. You know, fire us. We don't really care. We're good. I mean, we're not here for that. You know,
well, so, I love that.
That kind of gives you that. I'm sorry. That is, it's transformed me. I mean, one of my good friends, Jim, who went through it, is one of our worship leaders here at church. Tell me, you know, I cannot tell you. He's leading a step study in another town. And the gentlemen that are doing the step study with him are former cocaine addicts and alcoholics. And they're all men that are now in our church. that are leading the men in this church, you know, and it's just so good.
I love that, and I love that you're leading by example. And I, when you were talking about seek first the kingdom, and it, you know, it just reminds me that whatever we seek first organizes every other aspect of our life. And man, when we can come to the Father and with safe community and seek Him and say, "This is who I am. This is what I'm struggling with." It begins to organize our life in a different way because He's the one that's directing it. And I noticed somebody posted about CPR, Celebrate Pastor's Recovery. That's great. And what I love about this is you went into a regular group. You weren't in a group with other pastors, and that's pretty courageous. And what a message. And it's not always safe for pastors to do that. They may need a group with pastors. Nothing wrong with that. But just the fact that you got in a group with other guys that you were actually pastoring, man, that's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a pretty.
You would think though it would. You would think that it would weaken our relationship. That now they're like, oh, no, you know, I don't know if we should go to that church anymore. Yeah. But it was the opposite. It actually strengthened our relationship, and we still have. Well, that's been a few years. And we still have our text group we text each other from that group. We still have that. And of course, now I have several text groups I'm in because every time that there's a step study, either whether I lead it or not, they add me to that text group. And so, and it's awesome, you know, to have that place where you can be transparent with each other and just let it rip.
Well, so. There's a question that comes to mind, Brian, that, you know, I hear this in kind of in private, but I've seen pastors kind of put up a wall. Yeah, there's an aspect of I don't want them to see my stuff. But how many times, and I'm just kind of curious from a pastor's standpoint on this, how often do you think it's, if my church is struggling, that's a reflection on me and my leadership? And man, that enemy's so ruthless, isn't it? He kind of feeds us these lies. And so we don't need a recovery program because we're taking care of it on our Sunday morning. I wonder if you could speak to kind of the differences in what you, you guys have a healthy church there, the great things you're doing there in your regular church services. And then you have this wing of the hospital, the church is a hospital, that is Celebrate Recovery. From a pastor's standpoint, I wonder if you could speak into that. What, why would I need Celebrate Recovery if I have a healthy congregation on a Sunday morning?
Well, because, okay, here's how it's transformed our church. Even though the majority of our church does not attend Celebrate Recovery, it has transformed our church into a church of recovery. Mm. And so what that means is that we're not a church that offers a recovery program. We are a church that has a recovery program where you can come and be a part of our family if you choose to. Mm. And we want to support you with every single thing we have here. You know, so I think that's the biggest key is because, and I think that's one of the greatest transformations because even if you take things in example, like, so when we started Celebrate Recovery, my daughter, Gracie, is the second oldest, which at the time would have been like 19 years old. And she said, well, we really need a food ministry at our church. And I said, well, what we do, because we're going to feed these people over Sunday night. I don't know what we're going to do. But she said, well, I'll start it. And so she started one, and they call it burnt offerings. And so usually they don't burn the offering.
that's good.
Yeah, and they have this large team, and they rotate once every 6 or 8 weeks or so. And so they don't get inundated. But, you know, there's that team. And because we started CR, that team now does other things as well, you know? So, and then there's just all sorts of things where you notice that it's just a big deal, that it's transformed us into a tighter knit family. And I think that, a lot of people that don't come to CR probably don't even realize how much CR has transformed us because so many of our leaders have come through step studies. It's transformed the way we treat people, the way we look at things, the way we look at the Word of God, the way we preach, the way we sing, the way we do everything. And so when people come through the doors, and we get a lot of visitors, I mean, we had two ladies show up from Alabama to bring me a little Jesus this past Sunday. We're a good ways from Alabama. A few weeks ago, we had a lady come from Oklahoma. She drove from Oklahoma to come to church with us, and she brought me a little Jesus, which that's a whole nother thing, and any of our followers would know what I'm talking about. But the thing is when they come in, you know, because they know me from online, they may think, well, I'm here to meet him. But what they find out is they get inundated with all these people that are like, we are so glad you're here. Mm. And they're just, and it's not a fake thing. We've never went to any of our team and said, well, here's how you need to do it. They just do it.
They just do it.
And it's a simple motivation out of being a part of that family. And I think that's just it. The entire family's blessed and don't realize how much. And that's one of the things I think that, just real quick, if you're a CR leader watching this, if you are a ministry leader or part of the leadership team, don't look at your numbers, because numbers don't matter, you know, because a lot of times we get upset because we gauge success based on the number of people we have coming to our CR program. And you think, well, I've only got a half a dozen coming to my CR program, so I don't know if it's worth doing this. If one person is transformed, it's worth doing it. Because so what if we've got 100 and nobody's changed? Nothing's changing. Nothing's going on. So we remind our leader a lot with Jess, listen, we don't care about the numbers. And we have fine numbers, but we don't care about that.
Yeah.
You know, if lives aren't being changed, then it doesn't matter.
Well, and I love that you're saying that, because we've been in this last season of our training conferences, we've been really trying to vocalize that and articulate that remove from your vocabulary that we have a small Celebrate Recovery. There's no such thing as a small Celebrate Recovery. And, and here's the thing. There is a Trent and a Rodney at that Celebrate Recovery, right? If it's one person, that's somebody's son, that's somebody's brother, dad, neighbor, whatever.
Yeah.
And they need Jesus. And so, but what I love, pastors, what you're articulating is, and this is so good for pastors. I hope that everybody listening shares this with your pastor, because your pastor needs to see this, especially if you don't have Celebrate Recovery. But it may encourage them. But that you're helping us understand that just having a Celebrate Recovery has a ripple effect that you may not see the fruit right in front of you, but there is fruit being rippled through your entire community, starting in your church, right? Because you have a sign in front that says, we're Celebrate Recovery. You have a safe, you're saying, we're a safe place. Come on in. And it grows the church. It grows the kingdom. It doesn't matter what the numbers are in the specific meeting. It's a kingdom thing, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's the gospel. You know, Jesus met people where they were. Mm. And sometimes Jesus even pursued them. You know, I mean, like, just incredible to think about.
So there's little there's Jesus. Little Jesus. So,
we get picture. Some hate messages from times about that. There's a few people that say, well, you shouldn't worship idols. And I'm like, I don't think anybody's bowing down and worshiping idols. You know, the beautiful thing is, when we started doing this, we didn't ask to go viral. It happened.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it did.
Yeah.
Because we get messages from people all over the world about how they're utilizing little Jesus in their churches or their businesses. One lady messaged us today that she has cancer, but she bought a box of them and she's giving them out at the cancer treatment center.
Mm.
And that it has been such an encouragement to people, because
cool.
It reminds people, you know, this is just a little rubber Jesus, but man, the true Jesus, and when you can reach in your pocket and grab it and remind you that you have a wonderful Savior.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just such a door opener for people, and it's just a wonderful thing. And so, but nonetheless, I didn't know they were going to do that.
Yeah, that's funny. So let me ask you this, Pastor. So I kind of have two angles here I want you to speak into. I want to start with, let's start with a pastor. A pastor's on the fence about bringing Celebrate Recovery, or maybe they're doubting, is this even worth it, right? Having it in our church, is it worth the hassle, kind of thing? Can you speak to our pastors for a minute? And then in a minute, I'm going to have you talk to participants. But what would you say to a pastor to encourage them? Maybe they're discouraged, kind of feeling the weight of that. What would you say if they're on the fence to start, or they're just feeling a little bit discouraged and they have it in their church? What would you, if they're listening right now, what would you say to them?
Well, I wished we had done it years ago when we felt like that we were not qualified to do it. Because that's really what happened is we went up there to Orangeburg, and they had such a great program and still do. And they had 100+ attendees there, and they had as many people volunteering. And that's when I was like, oh, gosh. I mean, at that time, we didn't even have that many people in our church, period, like half that. So I was like, we just can't do this. But I think where we made the mistake and where I think others probably do is they think, well, I have to start where they're at right now. But that's just not the case, because as I've discovered, the majority of Celebrate Recovery programs are very small. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
because there's this beautiful part about being in a small group or small, you know,
right,
that you're close and you help keep each other accountable. And I think that's the big thing, that we let it intimidate us. And so if you're a pastor, I would say, you know, maybe don't worry about feeding them. Don't worry about childcare necessarily. Maybe somebody will step up. What we have discovered is that the provision will always follow the step of faith. The provision is never going to show up before the step of faith does. And so when we took that step of faith, finally, the provision came abundantly above what we could ever think or ask. You know, so, and I think that's just it. And we see it throughout scripture. You take somebody like Moses or somebody like that. Some of the provision he carried with him and didn't even realize that it was a provision, you know, when he left and went over to Egypt. And then he discovers that some of the things that he actually held in his hand was actually some of the greatest provision that he could have ever had. But he didn't know until he actually took that step of faith. So if you're a pastor, don't be scared to take that step of faith. That's what it's all about, you know, and you may be surprised at how it transformed. And our church has doubled in size since we started. Well, probably more since we started CR. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the way it transformed us as leaders and how we view things and how we look at things. So
I love that.
From a pastor perspective, I hope that.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I haven't jumped in here until now, but we did have a comment that I think is very important for us to get up here.
Yeah.
Amy. I'm so happy to now be part of CR at Lighthouse Church. I am a newbie, and under Jessica's leadership, my life is already changing, and I feel so blessed to have Brian Trent as my pastor. God is good. Brian, I want to say real quick, and I know I'm jumping in here on you, Rodney, but I absolutely love that you did a step study as a pastor with your church and such. My story is very similar. I did my first step study as the head of my church board and with my senior pastor. My senior pastor goes, okay. You know, he's like, I've had this addiction for 16 years that no one's known about and such. And it's like, you know, and now he's able to talk about it. And so I just absolutely love this ministry. And it's a big part of my life and such. So thanks for sharing yourself with your step study. So.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Amy, for that comment too. Amy's a sweetheart, and she deals with a lot of stuff herself, a lot of weight that she carries with the health of her husband and things like that. And I know she wouldn't mind me talking about that. I'm not going to go deep into that, but she's an absolute sweetheart, and I'm thankful for her.
That's
as
awesome.
Well as others. So, you know.
Well, I know we're getting close on time here, but I want to make sure I get this in. You're a pastor and a good pastor. You shepherd your flock well, and you have an opportunity to do a little bit of pastoring right here, right now with our listeners. Somebody's listening right now and they're struggling and, you know, feeling a little bit hopeless and wondering, you know, is there hope for me? Can change happen in my life? Through that lens of Celebrate Recovery, Jesus Christ, that foundation, what would be some words that you would share with them in this space, man?
Well, I can tell you that there is recovery if you truly want it. You know, I think Jesus actually said a few times, you know, and I remember the one miracle that he did, he said, do you want to be made whole? And I think that's key, because if you do, well, here it is, you know, it's right here. And I would encourage you to go, you know, even if it's not a Celebrate Recovery program, I would encourage you to go, although I think that Celebrate Recovery is more established. But I also think that it's important for you to connect with the family of that was there, not just at Celebrate Recovery, but that church family, and to be a part of that. And I encourage people just recently that if you're looking for a church, to go that direction, you know. And some people came back at me with some stuff, you know, like, well, you should pray and let the Holy Spirit lead you. And I'm like, well, that's great for me. I totally get that. But, you know, if I don't know Jesus, and if I'm 20 years away from the church and I've never prayed, how do I do that? I don't know how to do that. And there's a lot of people like that. And so if you're that person tonight, I want you to understand that one of the good ways that you can go about finding that good church family is to go find yourself a CR. And you may say, well, I don't need it, which is what I said. And ends up, it's the most life transforming thing that I've ever done in my life. And I can say that with shadow of a doubt, that my wife has been incredible. She's such an encouragement. She is, she speaks life into me all the time. But next to that, I will tell you that the camaraderie, the brotherhood of being a part of the guys in our group is incredible.
Yeah.
And so don't let your fear stop you, because what God is getting ready to lead you into is not just healing, but to be a part of something that's going to blow your mind, you know? And I think that's key. So don't let your hangups and your issues and your, you know, the block here stop you. And don't tell yourself that you're not worthy, because the truth is you're not, and I'm not either, but God loves us enough that he would actually pull us through at that. And that's the beautiful part, because I'm not worthy. And that means that's good news, because that means you're not worthy either. So that makes us just alike. But God is so loving that he would hold our hand and carry us through that. And it's a beautiful thing.
Wow. I hope you were as blessed as I am and was when just hearing these words from this great man, Pastor Brian Trent. It blessed my heart, and I hope it did too. You know, it's such a good reminder that it doesn't matter whether we're a pastor or we come and we're a leader, we're vocational, non-vocational leader, we're all in need of Jesus and recovery. And if a pastor can courageously step into that space, I hope that you feel that oxygen for your soul to do the same thing. And people all over the world are doing it. Maybe you're the next one to do the exact same thing, and I hope you'll join us. If you'd like more information about our Celebrate Recovery at Fellowship Fayetteville, Fellowship Rogers, please don't hesitate to go to fellowshipcr.org and learn more information. We'd love to have you join us. Hey, thanks so much for being with me today. I pray that you'll join me next time. Until then, God bless you.